stay healthy, and have a
friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Cinco de Mayo. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Algerian striker Riyad Mahrez, who scored two goals Tuesday to help lead Manchester City Football Club to its first UEFA Champions League final. Mahrez scored early in each half as Man City beat visiting Paris Saint-Germain 2-0 to win the semifinal series on aggregate 4-1. On May 29th in Istanbul, Turkey, Man City will meet either Chelsea or Real Madrid in the UEFA Champions League final. Chelsea and Real play in London later Wednesday evening in the second leg of their semifinal. The teams drew 1-1 last week in Madrid, Spain. In Manchester, England on Tuesday, Riyad Mahrez said post-match, and I quote, "We wanted to press them from the beginning very high. We knew they were going to take risks, and we could attack them in the counter." Man City went ahead in the 11th minute on a rapid sequence. The team's Brazilian goalkeeper, Ederson, drove the ball well beyond midfield and into the path of the Ukrainian Oleksandr Zinchenko. Zinchenko chased the ball down wide of the penalty area and crossed to Belgian star Kevin De Bruyne. A PSG defender deflected his low and powerful shot to Mahrez, whose angled one-timer beat PSG's Costa Rican goalkeeper, Keylor Navas. And in the 63rd minute, Mahrez would find the net again. On a counterattack, Phil Foden crossed to Mahrez for an easy finish on the backside. Final score from Manchester, England, Man City 2, PSG nil. Man City through to its first UEFA Champions League final. And VOA's Gwen Uten will have some reaction from Man City's Spanish manager, Pep Guardiola, later in the show.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African football, Mozambique recently named Portuguese manager Horacio Goncalves as the new head coach of its national men's team, nicknamed the Mambas. The 58-year-old Goncalves takes over from another Portuguese coach, his namesake, Luis Goncalves. Luis Goncalves spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye about his work experience in Africa. Iron Mike asked Luis Goncalves, "Do you think African football is improving overall?"
"Yes, I believe African football is developing, but some issues very slow, because one of the main questions is the organization, the federations and the clubs. They must be better organized. Of course, I'm talking about my experience. I don't know every countries in Africa. I don't know every organizations. But what can I see? What I can see is if some clubs if they have money, if they have structure, they could do better if they are better organized. So I believe the African football is developing because we can see all the good players that are always going to Europe, to big clubs in Europe to play. But I would like to see also the national teams from Africa develop as well, and the clubs in Africa. I know there's many, many clubs in Africa very, very good, with a very good level, and many, many competitions in the countries also, but I think could be better. Could be better.
Do you also see Africa producing big stars like Cristiano Ronaldo, Leo Messi, and other top players?
The African player is a talented player. I have no doubt about it. That's why I believe Africa could produce players like Cristiano Ronaldo and Leo Messi, of course, different players with different characteristics, different qualities, of course, but high-level players. African players, we have a lot of African players with a high level. You can see the players that play in Liverpool, City, Paris Saint-Germain, and so on.
Do you support young African players going to Europe to play professional football?
I think young African players, they always gonna have space in big clubs in Europe or other continents if they are well oriented. So it's very important the role from the clubs, African clubs, of course, and the role from the managers, the agents, because sometimes I see that young players go to other countries in Europe, for example, with no support, and sometimes the adaptation is very hard, very difficult, and they don't succeeded. So it's very important when we think about a person, a young person, a young player, change countries, change culture, change continent, change football. So it's very important to support very well. It's not to send players to clubs, to send players to Europe to play. Of course, first of all, they need to have talent. But besides that, it's important how they are received in that country, how they are received in that club, how they are received by the team, by the coach. It's very important to know that.
That's Luis Goncalves, the former head coach of Mozambique's national men's football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lisbon, Portugal. And we'll hear part two of Iron Mike's conversation with Luis Goncalves on Thursday's show.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitchell-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Major League Soccer recently kicked off its 26th season. The league has 27 teams, 24 here in the United States and 3 in Canada, and plans to expand to 30 teams by the 2023 season. The reigning MLS Cup champion is the Columbus Crew, and the captain of the Crew is Ghanaian defender Jonathan Mensah. Yawafusu Larbi had a chance to chat with Jonathan in Accra before the new MLS season began. In this encore sunny side of sports presentation, let's listen in again to their conversation. Here's Yao.
You have had a good career progression. You've played for Ashanti Gold, for the Free State Stars, for Evian, for Angie, and now it's the Columbus Crew. What would you put your career progression down to?
Decent level right now. Obviously, as time goes on in your career, any career, you want to improve, you want to do better, you want to progress. So I'm grateful for my progression and hopefully even more to come.
You sort of found a home in America and in Ohio where you play at the moment. What do you make of the club, the Columbus Crew?
It's a big family, and I'm grateful to be part of this family. They really love the people that come around, not just to play football, but to live there, to work there. And Columbus is my second home now. The people are passionate about their club, their city, and I'm thankful that they've accepted me to be one of them. So thankful that I get to call that place home.
You're not just calling that place home. You're one of the leaders in the team, if not the ultimate leader of the team at the moment, as you were named captain. Now, what sort of responsibility does that put on your shoulders as captain of the crew?
A lot. But I don't take all that. I accept all that, but I don't take all that on my shoulders because all the team, all the players on the team doing their best to help the team move forward. So even though I am with the armband, most of the guys, you know, got experience. They've played in the league for a while. They've played in other places for a while, so they know the role of a captain is really a tough job to put all on your shoulders. So they've really helped me, and that's why we all saw that the team was doing incredibly this season. So credit goes out to the boys.
The crew won the MLS Cup most recently. How did that make you feel, knowing that you were a leader of the side that orchestrated that sort of momentous win for the side?
It was an incredible achievement for the club and for the community. Then it comes down to the team, because the community and the club has done so much for us to be able to have that particular moment, because the team was on the verge of leaving town, and the community and the fans and the club came together and saved the club. So for us to be able to now win a championship for a club that was almost gone, it's a great achievement for the team, but most importantly for the fans.
What does it mean for you also to play in the Major League Soccer? There are quite a number of people who have not so good things to say about the Major League Soccer, but you're there, you're thriving. What does it mean for you to be playing in there?
I'm just grateful to be part of a league where people keep talking about it. Because if there's nothing good there, I don't believe people will talk about it. So, but it doesn't matter what they say. You know, it's their opinion, and they have their rights to voice out their opinions. But at the end of the day, we all see the testament of what work the MLS is doing, and getting someone like Zlatan to come play there for a couple of years, and he's going back to Europe, doing well, you know, that should tell you there's something good happening there. So I'm just grateful to be part of it.
Right. Now, how competitive is it?
It is really competitive, because for one of the best Ghanaian defenders ever to represent in the league, one of the best right backs ever for Ghana, in my opinion, Harrison Afo, to play there. You've gotten David Akam, one of the best a talent in Ghanaian football ever. You've gotten the likes of Joseph Martinez, Carlos Vela. The list goes on.
Yeah.
I'm not the one to sit here to tell people what it's in the league. You know, they need to find out, they need to research themselves, and it's a great league, you know. So for me to be part of history, you know, just to be part of the players that played in the Major League Soccer is just enough for me. So I'm going to keep doing my best in the league, and hopefully a lot of people get the attention and what the league is about, and they can join in and also invest in it.
Right. Winning the MLS Cup is a great achievement, but looking at the crew, how far do you think that your team can go from here?
I believe the crew has established themselves as a championship team for years, but then it's been a while they won a championship. So us winning this one will ignite the strength of the team and the momentum of the team already, because you know we were one of the founders clubs. We were one of the teams that won it in the early stages. So now for us to win it again, it will boost the confidence of the fans, the society, and the organization itself, so that we do more, we invest more, and then you know the results will follow. So it's a blueprint that has been there already, us to just reactivate it, and thankfully we did end of 2020.
Looking at also the standard of Ghanaian players who play in the Major League Soccer, what would you make of first the Ghanaian players and also the African players who are playing in there? If you look at their levels, are they players who are worthy enough of flying high the flag of Africa?
Oh yeah, I believe most of the guys that plays in the league that are from other places in Africa, most of them plays in the India national teams. Someone like Kai Kamara, Azira with Chicago Fire, plays with Uganda, and you got a couple of other guys also that plays with Mauritania and all that. So, and talk of us, the Ghanaians. So it's a league that got all varieties of people from all backgrounds, from all other continents. So it's great to see that there are some Africans, and I urge other Africans to also do their research in the league and join the league, because it's an exciting league.
That's Ghanaian defender Jonathan Mensah, the captain of the reigning Major League Soccer Cup champion Columbus Crew team. And Jonathan spoke with Yawafusu Larbi in Accra, Ghana.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, your moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including a look at the challenges ahead for President Biden, who faces formidable battles to pass the rest of his legislative agenda on Capitol Hill. Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
In African athletics, Ghana's 4x100 meters men's relay team has qualified for the Tokyo Olympics. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghana's 4x100 meters men's relay team last weekend qualified for this summer Tokyo Olympic Games. The quartet, Benjamin Azamati, Safu Anchi, Udromanu, and Paul Amoah, recorded a time of 38.79 seconds and finished second behind the Netherlands in heat 2 at the 2021 World Athletics Relays at the Silesian Stadium in Poland. The Tokyo 2020 bound relay squad, in their attempt to win a medal in the final 4x100 meters, were disqualified after placing third for bronze medal when a replay of the race showed their button chain was outside the changeover zone. However, the disqualification does not count in their participation in the Tokyo Games. Ghanaians watching the games live in their homes and at pubs hailed their relay team for making their country proud. Charles Osei Asibe is a board member of the Ghana Athletic Association.
Going into the World Athletics Relay, the team was able to train just once, and then we also knew that Azamati and Joe Paul Amoah were doing so well, so we knew they would be able to qualify again. Ghana, before the World Relay Athletics Championship, was ranked number 12 as far as the World Relay ranking is concerned. So we're very confident, and the guys didn't disappoint us. You know, I am happy when I hear them. I mean, they claim that Ghanaians wanted them to run faster. They went in there to do exactly that, and they have been able to qualify for the Olympics. We are proud of the guys. We are grateful to the Ministry of Youth and Sports. We are grateful to the National Sports Authority, who supported us. So we thank all those who contributed to make sure that the team was able to go in there to make Ghana and Africa proud.
That was Charles Osei Asibe, a board member of the Ghana Athletic Association. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. Samson Omale joins us now with some African basketball news.
The Basketball African League, together with producer and distributor Fremantle, award-winning True Detective producer Richard Brown, and sports marketing company Infront, have teamed up to produce an original documentary series telling the story of the launch and inaugural season of the Basketball African League, a new professional league featuring 12 club teams from across Africa, tipping off on Sunday, May 16th in Kigali, Rwanda. The series will be directed by up-and-coming South African director Tibogo Malope. The BAL, a partnership between the National Basketball Association of the United States and the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, marks the NBA's first collaboration to operate a league outside of North America. Staying with basketball, Josep Claros has been confirmed as the head coach of Angola's men's team, the country's basketball federation has announced. The Spaniard, known as Pepe Claros in basketball circles, gets the job after the resignation of Brazilian José Neto, who guided the team throughout the 2021 FIBA AfroBasket qualifiers last November and this February 2021. According to the Basketball Association of Angola, Claros' agreement with the former African champions will run until the end of this year's AfroBasket, set to take place in Kigali, Rwanda, from August 25th to September the 4th.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks clinched a playoff berth with a 6-point victory over the visiting Brooklyn Nets. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The Bucks used a big fourth quarter rally to upend the Nets for a second time in three nights, a 124-118 Bucks win. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 36 points and helped lead an 18-1 fourth quarter run that put the Bucks in firm control down the stretch. The Nets had an early 6-point fourth quarter lead before the Bucks got red hot. Antetokounmpo says four regular season wins in recent weeks against the contending Nets and Sixers means little to him.
Nobody's going to remember these games when we're in the playoffs. Me personally, it doesn't mean nothing to me.
The Bucks have also earned a playoff bid for a fifth straight year. Kyrie Irving had 38 to lead the Nets. Kevin Durant had 32. The Nets have lost three straight. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. In another NBA game Tuesday night, the Charlotte Hornets edged the host Detroit Pistons 102-99. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Pistons guard Amadou Diallo, who scored a career-high 35 points. Amadou was born in New York City, but his parents are from Guinea. And in case you're wondering about Amadou's jumping ability, well, he won the NBA Slam Dunk Contest in 2019.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
My Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten, joins us now with reaction from Manchester City Football Club's manager, Pep Guardiola, on the team advancing to its first UEFA Champions League final. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Manchester City have never gone beyond the Champions League semifinals, but with Tuesday's win, Man City are now one victory away from lifting the European Cup for the first time. Man City manager Pep Guardiola spoke to reporters after the match and praised his side's achievements since joining the club 4 years ago.
Well, they have done this 4 years. It's incredible in terms of the Premier Leagues and the Carabao Cups and the Cups and every competition played. And reaching the final helps to understand what we have done. It's unfair, but it's what it is. We have to accept it. But the people believe, hey, Champions League, reach this competition in the finals is so difficult. It's it's the toughest one. The quality of the opponents, the composure that you had to have, the suffer the toughest moments. And we did it. So we make an incredible Champions League season, and now we deserve to be there. We're going to play the final.
The stakes were as high as the tension on the pitch during Tuesday's second leg match, but two goals by French-born Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez in the 11th and 63rd minutes secured Man City's place in the Champions League final. The victory was won inside an empty stadium due to coronavirus restrictions, and Pep Guardiola said he missed having fans there to witness the historic win.
We lost the semifinal against Tottenham 2 years ago, and a bit disappointed, but the fans were there, the crowd, we suffered in good moment. We enjoyed in 1 minute, and we were sad in another one. And today, it's nice to reach the final, but it's not the same. We miss them, but it's what it is.
Meanwhile, Paris Saint-Germain's uphill battle towards the Champions League final is now over. They entered Tuesday's match hoping to overcome their 2-1 loss in the first leg. They needed two goals to stay alive, but were without the help of top scorer Kylian Mbappe, who was sidelined with a calf injury. Things began to unravel for PSG in the second half when they found themselves at a 10-man disadvantage after Angel Di Maria was given a red card for stomping on the lower leg of opponent Fernandinho while they were both out of play. PSG finished the match without netting a single goal, and afterwards, manager Mauricio Pochettino admitted that throughout the two legs, luck was not on his side.
I think the result is the most that what disappointed us, because in this type of game, in this level, you need sometimes this percentage of luck for the game to be in your side. And wasn't for us when we can go in Paris. But the team gave everything, and of course, I feel proud of that. And of course, disappointed with the first legs in with the send off to play 15 minutes with 10 men, and now the second leg to play 20 minutes with 10 men. Is a massive advantage for the opponent.
And Pochettino says mistakes like Di Maria's send-off practically handed Man City the match.
Our accident that happened, that we knew sometimes this type of situation are very quick. And of course, we feel disappointed because we give the game to Manchester City in a situation that we need to avoid before, you know, to anticipate the situation. But that is football. Football is about the mistake.
Pochettino says he feels disappointment for the fans and for the club, and despite giving everything, they did not get what they wanted. However, Manchester City got what they wanted. Tuesday's Champions League victory has been a long time coming. Man City have already won the English League Cup and could clinch the Premier League title in a matter of days. They will play for the Champions League title against the winner of Wednesday's last four match between Chelsea and Real Madrid. The Champions League final will take place on May 29th in Istanbul. And that is all for me, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe on Wednesday gave Tokyo Olympic organizers high marks for a marathon test event they staged in the northern city of Sapporo. Tokyo organizers on Wednesday held the Sapporo Challenge Half Marathon 2021. It's described as an important dress rehearsal for the marquee Olympic event with 79 days to go before the opening ceremony at the Tokyo Olympics. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember the men's and women's Olympic marathons will be held in Sapporo, where the temperatures are usually cooler than Tokyo. Organizers were reluctant to stage the marathons in Tokyo because of the summer heat.
Hey,
And that wraps up the Cinco de Mayo edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.